Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Adapter for PeopleSoft Known Issues and Solutions. Today's presenter is Vinod Walaicha. Vinod is a developer with IBM India Software Labs and is currently working on development and customer support for IBM WebSphere PeopleSoft Adapter. He has over 4 years of experience working with various Java technologies, including Java Connector Architecture, or JCA. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Vinod. You may begin.
Thanks, David. Hello, everybody. As mentioned by David, I work as development and support for WebSphere Adapters and Castan team in IBM India Software Labs. So today we will be discussing some of the known issues that have been faced with WebSphere adapters for PeopleSoft Enterprise Server and some other helpful information on resolving these issues that you would have seen or other customers would have seen. During the presentation, you can refer to the slides that are shared with you, or you can also refer to the local copy of the presentation. Since I'll be stating the current slide number as I go through the presentation. So moving to slide number 2. Just to briefly state what the agenda will be for the presentation. So first we will start with a brief overview of PeopleSoft Adapter. Then we will give a brief introduction of how this presentation is formatted, so that even after the presentation you can go and, you know, refer this presentation as and when any issue arises. Then we will go over some of the known issues and give you a detail of that, some of the known issues that have been seen with the PeopleSoft Adapter in the past. Then we have some slides on the self-help tips, how it can help you resolve the issues at your end, so without you to open a PMR with the IBM support team. So basically it will be more of resolving issues on your own. Then David will open the presentation for questions and answers. So this is briefly what we will be going about, the agenda for today. Moving on to slide number 3. So slide number 3 gives a brief overview of what WebSphere adapters for PeopleSoft Enterprise Server, which is also referred to as PeopleSoft Adapter. So we'll be referring this as PeopleSoft Adapter during the course of the presentation. So what this PeopleSoft Adapter is and what does it provide? So it gives a brief overview. So basically, PeopleSoft Adapter will provide bi-directional connectivity to a PeopleSoft Enterprise Server. What it means is you can create integrated processes that can exchange information with PeopleSoft Enterprise Server. By bi-directional, it means it supports both the outbound and the inbound operations. So, for example, a client application can send and receive requests from PeopleSoft Enterprise Server. Just to take an example, the application can send a request to create an employee record in a HR table at the PeopleSoft end, or it can receive events such as notification about an updated employee record from the PeopleSoft server. So it supports both towards the PeopleSoft server and from the PeopleSoft server, that is outbound and inbound. To make it possible to communicate in a standard way, PeopleSoft Adapter is compliant with Java 2 connector architecture standards. So what it means is PeopleSoft Adapter enables JCA compliant application servers such as IBM Business Process Manager, or WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus to connect to and interact with the PeopleSoft Enterprise Server. So basically, it gives that compliance. With PeopleSoft adapter, you can automatically generate an interface to the PeopleSoft function to hide the lower level details of the function. So depending on your plans for using the adapter, you can either embed it with the deployed application or you can install it in a standalone mode. So these are basically two modes of deploying the adapter onto your runtime. The component that you generate will with the external service wizard. So this is basically used to discover your objects, the external service wizard. It uses a standard interface and standard business objects. So taking these business objects sent by the application and calling the PeopleSoft function, the adapter calls the respective function at the PeopleSoft server end and provide the application with the required response in the business format, business object format. So basically the client over here, the client application does not have to deal directly with the PeopleSoft function. So that layer is abstracted and the client only has to send the request to the adapter. The adapter invokes the corresponding function at the PeopleSoft server end and gives the response to the client application. So this is the way client applications can leverage on PeopleSoft adapter to talk to the PeopleSoft server. Now the operations that PeopleSoft adapter supports, as I mentioned earlier, both the inbound as well as outbound. In outbound, it supports creating of a record at the tables in PeopleSoft server, or updating of an existing record, deleting of the record, retrieving of a particular record. So these are the basic crude operations: create, retrieve, update, and delete. All of these are supported as far as the outbound operation is concerned. For the inbound operation, the PeopleSoft adapter will poll the PeopleSoft enterprise server in regular intervals, and as and when it finds any new event getting generated, business event getting generated at the PeopleSoft server end, it will convey that information, business event information to the endpoint application. So both of these operations are supported by PeopleSoft adapter. Moving on to slide number 4. Okay, so slide number 4 talks about how we have formatted the presentation. So we have decided to discuss some of the known issues or problems that customers have seen in the past and what is the cause of the issue. Then we have provided the solution. Now this solution is the solution that was provided to the customer for that problem. And then we have included a TechNote link. So in the presentation, we may not be able to provide all the details. So we have the details in the TechNote link, which we have included in the presentation. So you can refer this presentation even in future. You will have a ready reference as a TechNote. One thing I would like to clarify over here is the solution that we have provided over here has resolved a particular problem for a particular customer environment. So it will generally apply to most of the customers, but there can be a scenario wherein if there is a change in the environment, the solution may not apply. So while checking for the solutions, it will be advisable to check whether the environment mentioned in the problem is same as the one that you are facing. So that is one thing you would like to check before applying the solution that is mentioned in the presentation or in the TechNote. So this is the way we have formatted this presentation, so that even you can refer this presentation in future. Moving on to slide number 5. Okay, so from here on we will see some of the issues that have come up in past with PeopleSoft Adaptr. I will describe each of them in detail over here. So the first one on slide number 5 is about PeopleSoft Adaptr throwing a JOA exception during the update operation. So update, as I mentioned earlier, is one of the outbound operations that PeopleSoft Adaptr supports. In this particular issue, it was seen that when customer tries to do an update operation, the adapter was throwing the JOA exception. Now, the cause of this issue was internally, adapter was trying to set the get keys for some of the component interfaces on the PeopleSoft server side. Now, it is not mandatory that all these component interfaces will have the get keys, but internally the adapter was trying to set this get keys. So the fix for this issue was we provided a functionality to remove this second time setting of get keys. So ideally it shouldn't go again and set this get keys when doing an update operation, but it was doing it, and this fix was resolved in adapter version 7.003. So earlier versions of the adapter may see this issue. So if at all you see this issue in your environment, you can update your adapter to fix pack version 7.003. That is what it states. And at the end, we have provided the technote link. So in future, if you want to see this in detail, you can refer to the technote link that is mentioned. Moving on to slide number 6. So slide number 6, we saw similar exception, the JOA exception, but this time the exception was seen for the create operation. And the cause of this issue was that if for a particular users do not set the get key or the get method is not available for the PeopleSoft server, the response that the adapter was, the response BO, business object, that the adapter was returning was failing with the JOA exception. So herein the functionality was added so that the adapter would not call the get method if the get key is not set, or if the get method is not supported by the PeopleSoft server. It's not available in the PeopleSoft server. So this functionality was added, and the fix was provided in the same version, in the same fix pack as before, fix pack version 7.003. And we also have the technote link for this in this particular slide. So you can refer this in future. Moving on to slide number 7. So slide number 7 talks about the capturing of the error codes and the error messages during the outbound processing. So it used to happen that a particular outbound operation for a customer used to fail, and they didn't know why it got failed. So the only possible means for them to know the error codes was to go and check in the logs. So they didn't have any possible way of checking it through the response BO. So what we did was we provided a fault business object named invalid request fault. If this feature is enabled, the adapter will return an invalid business fault object. This invalid business fault object will will contain the error codes and the error messages. So basically what we do is we catch these error codes and error messages that occur at the PeopleSoft server side. We embed them into this business vault, the invalid request business vault, and then this invalid business vault business object is sent as a response BO. So checking this response BO, customers would easily know what was the reason for their outbound operation to fail. So they can get these error codes and error messages from this fault business object, that is invalid request fault. So this is the way it was handled, and the fix for this was provided in fix pack version 6202. So this is kind of old fix pack 6202. So if you want to get these error codes and error messages in your response BO, you can apply the fix pack 6202, and through the invalid request fault you can get those error codes and error messages. So you don't have to refer the logs. We also have included the TechNote link for this in the below in the slide. Moving on to slide number 8. So slide number 8 basically talks about the hanging of external service wizard when certain port numbers are used to connect to the PeopleSoft server. Now this issue was seen only for specific versions of PeopleSoft server, version 8.48 and version 8.49. These are the only two PeopleSoft server versions that we saw this issue. So this issue was basically when you enter some particular port numbers in the ports field in the EMD, the external service wizard, and try to connect to the PeopleSoft server through the external service wizard, the external service wizard thread used to hang, and it used to hang like for infinity. You are not able to do anything. So we were asked this question as to why the external service wizard thread is hanging. The cause of this issue was basically there is something called as the Jolt server handlers that spawn by using successive port numbers. So what happens is, say by default you connect to the PeopleSoft process server with using the port number 9000. Now if you, instead of giving 9000, if you give 9001, this 9001 is a port for these JSH processes to span on the PeopleSoft server. So this port number is not regarded as illegal port by the PeopleSoft server, since it is used for spawning. So it infinitely tries to connect to the PeopleSoft server using this port number. So this was basically the cause of the issue. So what was done was, this issue was raised with PeopleSoft, and they accepted that it's a bug, it's a limitation on the PeopleSoft server end. And the solution that we had for this is to, whenever such thing happens, your external service wizard hang, you need to cancel it. You need to cancel your external service wizard and then check on the port number. There is a high probability that you have given a successive port number that was the legal port number. So say the port number that you should connect to was 9000, there is a probability that you gave 9001. So you will have to check on the port number that you have given. To check on the port number, you can refer to the the PeopleSoft server configuration file, the PSAPPSRV.cfg file. That file will contain the port number that you should connect to the PeopleSoft server. By default, the port number is 9000. So, as I mentioned earlier, this issue was only seen for PeopleSoft server version 8-bit and 8.49. So, if you have any other version of PeopleSoft server, this issue won't be seen. We have also included the TechNote link over there. It contains all the details about how this spawning happens and why this thread is hanging. So you can also refer that in future. Moving on to slide number 9. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So slide number 9 talks about the PeopleSoft adapter not able to process the inbound operations when the system locale is non-English. So basically, if the PeopleSoft adapter is running on a system which is non-English, say Chinese or any other non-English locale, you see that you are not able to process the inbound operation. So you are not able to process the events in the event table. And in the logs, you can see some parsing exceptions coming. Parsing exceptions are seen in the logs if it's a non-English locale. Now, the reason for this issue was if the PeopleSoft adapter and the PeopleSoft server both are located in a non-English locale, the date value that is returned by the PeopleSoft API is expected to be in the corresponding locale. However, what happens is the date value returned is always in the English locale. Because of this, the adapter is not able to process that date value, since it is expecting it to be in the locale that it is in, but it gets it in the English locale. So that was the basic cause of this this issue happening. And this can be easily detected from the logs as well. It will throw an unparsable date exception, which will mention the date as well that it has got in this particular English format. And the solution to this problem is very easy. There was no fix provided for this. The solution to this was to change your date format property. Date format property is basically a property, activation spec property. You need to change this property to the prescribed format, that is MMDD, YY, HH, and MM. So this is the format that you need to specify your date. So what happens is when it gets the date in the English format, it will compare it with the current date format in the activation spec, and it will try to process it accordingly. If the date format is specified in the activation spec property, then it will not look for the date to be in the locale of the locale at which the adapter is deployed. So it will always search for the one that is prescribed in the date format property in the activation spec. So the solution to this is simple, just to change the date format in the activation spec property. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 10. Slide number 10 talks about an issue in the update operation. So basically So if your business object contains multiple level of hierarchy, say a BO containing a child BO and again containing a grandchild BO, so in that scenario it was seen that the grandchild business object name was not available for the keep relationships ASI property. So keep relationship is basically application specific property using which you specify what all child or grandchild business object relationships you want to keep. So if you specify for a particular child BO that you want to keep relationship to that child BO, then the child BO remains even after the update. If the keep relationship is set to false for a particular child BO, that child, the incoming child BO overrides the existing one. So that is a short introduction of what keep relationship ASI property is. Now what was happening was for the grandchild business object, that is a BO business object having a child business object, and the child business object in turn having a child business object. So this grandchild business object was not available for the keep relationship property. So we were not able to preserve the grandchild business object for the update operation. So this was the problem that was encountered. And the cause of this issue was this keep relationship property was getting initialized only for the child business at the level of child business object. It was not going and checking for the grandchild business object. It was a functional flaw in the code. It was resolved in PeopleSoft adapter version, FixPack version 7.5.0.2. So we provided the capability to the EMD, that is the external service wizard, to list the child as well as the grandchild object for keep relationship property. So after this fix, you are able to preserve both the child BO and the grandchild BO. the fixed version is 7.5.0.2, fixed pack. The technote link is provided in the slide. You can have a detailed look. Moving on to slide number 11. So slide number 11 talks about the alternate key fields property for the retrieval operation. So basically retrieval operation provides you a functionality by which you can specify the alternate key fields which you want the adapter to use in the retrieval operation. So that functionality is provided through this EMD listing, alternate key fields for retrieval operation. Now the issue over here was it was displaying all the fields for the component interface in the EMD, that is the external service wizard. It was displaying all these fields. However, all the fields are not required in the EMD. Only the related fields should be shown. So this issue was resolved again in the same fixed pack version, fixed pack 7.5.0.2, and only the related attributes were listed in the external service wizard after this fix. The technote link is also included in this slide. Moving on to next slide. So I am on slide number 12. So slide number 12 explains a similar issue as the earlier one. The external service wizard incorrectly displaying the primary attributes for the component interface. So the issue was basically these fields that represent the generated key in PeopleSoft. This property actually gives the attributes that contribute to the primary key fields for this particular component interface. The issue was it was listing all these fields during the metadata configuration for the outbound process. Ideally, it should display only the primary key fields, but it was displaying all these fields in this metadata configuration. So this issue was also resolved in fixed pack version 7.5.0.2. Herein only the primary key attributes are listed in the EMD for the property now, and other attributes won't be listed. So this issue was more of an external service wizard issue, not a runtime issue. Moving on to next slide. Okay, so I'm on slide number 13. Slide number 13 talks about failure of the adapter when an attribute is a signed number. So basically, PeopleSoft adapter was failing to copy the EIS value for the attribute that was a signed number. What was happening was, if a particular attribute in a component interface was a signed number, then the value for that particular attribute was not getting, adapter was not able to copy that value. The cause of this issue was ideally this signed number field was to get mapped to an integer attribute in the generated BO, the business object that gets generated corresponding to a particular component interface. Ideally, it is supposed to get mapped to an integer attribute. But when the EMD part was not able to generate the decimal attribute for this, it was failing, since it was not able to generate the particular decimal attribute. So what was done was the functionality was provided so that the EMD is able to generate the decimal attribute for the signed number. Now this issue was seen for both the number type and the signed number type. So functionality was provided so that it is able to generate the decimal attribute. The issue has been resolved in fixed pack version 7.5.0.1. So if you see a similar behavior wherein there are issues, if you have a signed number for a particular attribute in the component interface, you should apply the fixed pack version 7.5.0.1, and such signed number issues would be resolved by this fixed pack. Moving on to next slide. Okay, so I'm on slide number 14. So slide number 14 is related to the update operation again. So what was seen is, if the keep relation property was set to false, the object update operation was returning incorrect response. So as I mentioned earlier, the keep relationship property is used to preserve the relationship between the child business object and the parent business object. If it is set to false, keep relations property set to false, then the relationship is not preserved, and the incoming child BO will override the existing BO. Now, when the property was set to false, wherein if a customer doesn't want to preserve the relationship with the child BO, it was seen that the response BO that was returned was not correct. So this issue was seen particularly when the EIS has got some child BO, and the data, the input BO, it doesn't have the corresponding data for the child BO. So your schema has a child BO, but your input BO doesn't have a data for the child BO. In that scenario, update operation was returning a dummy child, and sometimes it returns a non-dummy grandchild as well. So this was an incorrect behavior observed on part of the child BO and the grandchild BO for the adapter. So what was done was the cause of this issue was the adapter, the check for the data at the EIS end was not done. So it was not seen whether the incoming input BO has got the data for it. The particular issue was resolved in fixed pack version 7.0.0.3. 7.03. And what was done was the adapter will now call the get method in the EIS data to generate the correct response for the update operation. And this will be done only if the get method is supported by the PeopleSoft adapter. And it is resolved in 7.03. The TechNote link is provided at the end of this slide, so you can go through in detail about that. Going on to next slide. So I am on slide number 15. So now we will be seeing some of the self-help tips that that you can use to resolve any particular problem that you face at your end itself. So these tips will provide information as to how you can resolve it yourself. So in this we will be seeing the some of the feature documents, also called as newsletters. These newsletters are sent by IBM on quarterly basis to all its customers, and most of the customers they will subscribe to this newsletter. This newsletter will contain helpful information about any known issues or upcoming releases or any new tech notes that are given. Basically, it will contain things that you would like to pay attention to. IBM wants its customer to have a look at. So this newsletter will contain these things. Then we will be looking at the compatibility metrics. So compatibility metrics is basically it basically mentions what all versions of the software are compatible with the version of the adapter. Then we will have a look at the IBM support portal. It contains wealth of information about adapters. Not only adapters, but also other products as well. We will take a look. We will talk a little bit about that as well, the IBM support portal. Then we will see about the must gather information. So if at all you are not able to resolve the issue on your own, then this must gather information will be helpful as to if you want to report the issue to IBM support. At that time, this must gather information is helpful. So we will look into that as well. Moving on to next slide. So I'm on slide number 16. So slide number 16 basically talks about the feature documents for adapters, also called as the newsletter. The content is generally sent on a quarterly basis, and it is mainly created by level 2 or level 3 engineers in IBM. Most of the customers, they subscribe to this newsletter. As I mentioned earlier, it contains tech notes or basically information that can help you resolve some of the most commonly occurring scenarios in the customer environment. Or it can also include information about the any upcoming planned education sessions or any upcoming releases or feature pack or fixed packs being provided by IBM. Those information will be there in the newsletter. Moving on to next slide. So I am on slide number 17. So slide number 17 is about the compatibility matrix. So compatibility matrix will basically tell you not just about the adapters, but overall products, what all software that are supported by a particular version of the adapter. So if you upgrade your operating system, consider an example wherein you upgrade your operating system and you want to know whether this particular version of operating system is supported for this particular version of adapter, or if you upgrade your business process manager and you want to know what all versions of Adaptr are supported for this particular version of business process manager, then you can you should refer to this compatibility matrix. The compatibility matrix will provide information about all the softwares, that is the operating system, the runtime information, the business process manager or your message broker, and about the versions of JVM supported. It will provide information about all these other versions that are there in your environment that are required to run the adapter. All these versions will be mentioned in the compatibility matrix. So generally this compatibility matrix will be updated by the level 3 engineer and it will include the latest information based on the latest releases of the adapters. Moving on to slide number 18. So slide number 18 is about the IBM support portal that we have for WebSphere adapter. So support portal is basically one top shot place for everything that is required for the product. It will contain all these published documentation, whether it be TechNote or the adapter documentation, the user guides or the quick start guides, the QSS documents, or the flashes, or any videos that you know you can refer to. So so it will contain all this information, and it's not only about the adapters, but it will have information about all the related products like message broker or message crew or business process manager or WebSphere application server. It will have information about all this. So it is one place where you can have all this information. This portal will also allow you to find specific information for specific versions of the products. So you can find specific information about a specific version, say adapter version, PeopleSoft adapter version 7511. It also gives you the capability to do that. So basically you can customize your experience in the IBM support portal. And as I mentioned earlier, you can also get information for the specific versions of other products as well. Basically, if you are on the support portal, you don't have to go any other place. You can get all this, whether it's compatibility matrix or any new releases coming up, troubleshooting, everything will be there in the support portal. It will also mention some of the recent tech notes. So if you see any particular issue in your environment, a good start will be to have a look at the support portal. If you are mentioned, if your particular problem is mentioned in the support portal site as one of the latest tech notes, you can also refer to the APARs that are created. So APARs will be basically any code change request, any interim fixes that would have gone in. It will also give information about any interim fixes that were done. So this will be a good place to start with if you see any issues in your environment, any problems with adapter or any other product. We have mentioned the link for the WebSphere adapters family, what all content it has. So the link is there at the bottom of the slide to have your look for the WebSphere adapters family. Moving on to slide number 19. So slide number 19, I have just pasted a screenshot for the support portals for adapters family to give you a feel of how it looks like. So how basically how you will see the adapters family on the main page. So the current screenshot that I have pasted is the main page for the WebSphere adapters family. And from this main page will contain links for you to go to other pages like compatibility matrix and feature documents and any support technical exchange information as well. It will contain links to go to other such supporting pages. Moving on to next slide. So I am on slide number 20. The slide shows the troubleshooting section of the PeopleSoft of the support portal for this PeopleSoft adapter. On the right top, you can see there's a search box wherein you can search for a particular issue that you are facing. So, for example, PeopleSoft adapter. So and so version of your PeopleSoft adapter is not pulling. So you can just type that PeopleSoft adapter version 7.5 is not pulling, or things like that, or the adapter is hanging, or something like this. So you can give such keywords into the search box for the troubleshooting, and there you can you will get the results for your search. Generally, we have seen that people go into Google search. Instead of that, the Google search will return large number of results. It will be difficult for you to get to the exact fix for your issue. So it's good to use the troubleshooting section of adapters to get to your specific solution to your specific problem. So this is a screenshot for that. Moving on to next slide. So I am on slide number 21, which will describe in little detail as to what the must gather information consists of. So if doing all these things, looking up into the support portal, searching in the troubleshooting section, even after doing all these things, you are not able to resolve your issue, and you feel that the issue has to be reported to the support team. So the first thing to start with is to collect the must gather information. So must gather information is the information that you should provide to the support team so that they can start their analysis. Now we don't want the resolution for the customer getting delayed because of to and fro communication delay between the customer and the support team. So customer providing something and then support asking again for something else. So in order to resolve such issues, a must gathered information section was created wherein customers can get this specific file and provide to the support in one shot, so that support doesn't have to come back to customers to get other information and possibly avoid a delay in problem resolution for the customers. So this must gather information will contains about the logs that customers should provide to the support, whether it should be trace.log files or system outs, then what all specific system information the customer should provide to the support, and symptoms that they have seen. So this must gathered information contains such things, and we have a dedicated tech note for this as to what all information the customer should provide as part of must gathered information. Now, advantages of this is obviously it helps to quickly resolve the problem, to determine what the problem is. So So basically, we also ask some other questions like whether systems match the known problems, and if you have a non-defect problem that can be identified, if there is a defect that identifies the workaround to reduce severity. So you know these all points can be analyzed too if we get this must gathered information. So it will be a good start for a customer to see through the must gather information and provide the must gather information to the support when they report any problem, so that the support can immediately start with the problem resolution. Moving on to the next slide. Okay, so I am on slide number 22, which again talks about the must gather information. So this slide will specifically talk about the data collectors that we have, the ISA Lite. So you know, instead of going through the process manually and manually collecting the information, there is a way by which you can automatically collect the information using this tool, the ISA Lite. Now, while collecting the information manually, there can be human error. You may collect some other log, or you know, you may miss to collect a particular file. So in order to avoid such things, and it will also consume some amount of time for the customers to collect data manually, so to avoid such things, this data collector, auto data collector, the ISA Lite is there. Currently it's only available for the PeopleSoft server, the WBS, the process server, and the message broker, the WebSphere message broker. So this will basically help for automatic collection of the must gather data. Moving on to next slide. I'm on slide number 23, which again speaks a little bit on the must gather part as to so what all should be there. If you are seeing any build time errors, then it would be good to provide the logs related to the external services, and it is the EMD. If there is any runtime error seen, then you can check on the trace settings, the recreation steps. So these things you can check on if there is a runtime error, or the trace files, the FFDCs. FFDCs also provide information to us to resolve a particular issue. They help a lot. So this adapter link instructs how to gather the required must gather information. So it will instruct if it's a build time what to do, that is external service, that if it is runtime, that is after deploying the adapter onto a runtime, whether it's your process server or with your message broker, then how you should gather the must gather information. So the tech note will provide those details. Moving on to next slide. So this is a screenshot for the main page of must gather for the adapter. It is just to give you a feel of how you will view the must gathered must gather portal. Moving on to next slide. So to summarize what all we have seen till now, we saw the known issues that were there with the PeopleSoft adapter, and some useful information to resolve those issues, along with their the tech note links. So we looked into these things that you could resolve at your end without opening the PMR. Then we saw the self-help tips, the IBM newsletters that you can refer to get the latest information on some of the recent tech notes or the upcoming releases or any education sessions. The compatibility matrix that you can check against for your version of software that are compatible with the current version of the adapter. Then we saw the support portal that can be used to get any information about not only adapters but other products as well. One top shot location for getting the information, and then we saw the must gather information that the customer should collect in whenever a particular problem is reported to IBM, a particular PMR is opened. So we saw the must gather information. Moving on to next slide. So I am on slide number 26, which gives some of the important links about the WebSphere products. You can if you want the information about the WebSphere community in general, the products that come under WebSphere, like WebSphere application server or IBM Process Manager, Business Process Manager, or WebSphere Message Broker, WebSphere Message Queue. These links are there to have information about these products as well. It also contains link for the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange webcast that we have. So it will contain links to all these things. So I would now like to hand over the presentation to David.
Thank you, Vinod, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, Tanya, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we are ready for the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your question, press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment. There are no questions on the audio portion.
Thank you, Tanya. There are a few questions from Mahesh in the group chat. Vinod, are you able to see those questions?
I can see that. question is there from Mahesh. He's asking, how do I configure inbound and outbound PeopleSoft adapter in WID version 7.0? Can I configure PeopleSoft adapter in form of EAR to keep it in WPSH with a WSB server directly for reuse? What kind of protocols it can accept apart from SOAP, HTTP, and WPA? Means, can I expose this PeopleSoft adapter as MQ or JMS? Okay. So yes, you can configure the inbound and the outbound PeopleSoft adapter in WebSphere Integration Developer with version 7.0. You can configure them in form of EAR. There is an option provided in WID to get your modules. So basically, we call this inbound and outbound as modules. So it gives you an option to have your modules in form of EAR. What you can do is you can have them in form of EAR, and then you can deploy your EAR onto the runtime, that is the WebSphere process server or WebSphere enterprise service bus. You can deploy them. So I think this answers your first question, whether you can do that. The second question is about the protocol. So yes, it supports the SOAP in WPA. Can I expose the adapter, PeopleSoft adapter, as MQ or JMS? So, So you will be able to have the adapter as an EAR and then deploy it on the process server. But it, the way you want to do it as MQ or JMS won't be possible. But yes, you can have it deployed as EAR onto your runtime.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Vinod, for presenting today.
Thanks everyone.